chapter 24, labors in the Middle West, 1856 to 58. In the fall of 1856, while visiting a company of Sabbath-keeping Adventists at Round Grove, Illinois, I was shown that the company of brethren at Waukon, Iowa needed help, that Satan's snare must be broken, and these precious souls rescued. My mind could not be at ease till we had decided to visit them. A victory at Waukon, Iowa. When we reached Waukon late in December 1856, we found nearly all the Sabbath keepers sorry we had come. Much prejudice existed against us, for much had been said that tended to injure our influence. In the evening meeting, I was taken off in vision, and the power of God fell upon the company. I related what the Lord had given me for the people. It was this: return unto me, and I will return unto thee, and heal all thy backslidings. Tear down the rubbish from the door of thy heart, and open the door, and I will come in and sup with thee. I saw that if they would clear the way and confess their wrongs, Jesus would walk through the midst of us in power. After I had borne my testimony, one sister began to confess in a clear, decided manner, and as she made confession, the floodgates of heaven seemed suddenly opened, and I was prostrated by the power of God. It seemed an awful yet glorious place. The meeting continued till past midnight, and a great work was accomplished. The next day the meeting began where it ended the night before. Those who had been blessed at the previous meeting retained the blessing. They had not slept much, for the Spirit of God rested upon them through the night. Some confessed their feeling of disunion with us and their backslidden condition. The meeting continued without intermission from 10 o'clock in the forenoon till 5 in the evening. That evening the burden left us. It was rolled upon the brethren and sisters of Waukon, and they labored for each other with zeal and with the power of God upon them. Countenances that looked sad when we came to the place now shone with heavenly anointing. It seemed that heavenly angels were passing from one to another in the room to finish the good work which had begun. Soon we were able to bid farewell to our brethren in Waukon and to start on our homeward journey. View at Lovett's Grove, Ohio. In the spring of 1858, we visited Ohio and attended conferences at Green Springs, Gilboa, and Lovett's Grove. At Lovett's Grove, the Lord's blessing rested upon us in special power. On Sunday afternoon, there was a funeral service at the schoolhouse where our meetings were being held. My husband was invited to speak. He was blessed with freedom, and the words spoken seemed to affect the hearers. When he had closed his remarks, I felt urged by the Spirit of the Lord to bear my testimony. As I was led to speak upon the coming of Christ and the resurrection and the cheering hope of the Christian, my soul triumphed in God. I drank in rich draughts of salvation. Heaven, sweet heaven, was a magnet to draw my soul upward, and I was wrapped in a vision of God's glory. Many important matters were there revealed to me for the church. Writing Spiritual Gifts, Volume 1. In the vision at Lovett's Grove, most of the matter which I had seen 10 years before concerning the great controversy of the ages between Christ and Satan was repeated, and I was instructed to write it out. I was shown that while I should have to contend with the powers of darkness, for Satan would make strong efforts to hinder me, yet I must put my trust in God, and angels would not leave me in the conflict. 2 days afterward, while journeying on the cars to Jackson, Michigan, we arranged our plans for writing and publishing. And immediately on our return home, the book entitled The Great Controversy Between Christ and His Angels and Satan and His Angels, commonly known as Spiritual Gifts, Volume 1. I was then as well as usual. On the arrival at the train at Jackson, we went to Brother Palmer's. We had been in the house but a short time when I was conversing with Sister Palmer, my tongue refused to utter what I wished to say and seemed large and numb. A strange cold sensation struck my heart, passed over my head and down my right side. For a time I was insensible, but was aroused by the voice of prayer. I tried to use my left limbs, but they were perfectly useless. For a short time I did not expect to live. It was my third shock of paralysis. And although within 50 miles of home, I did not expect to see my children again. I called to mind the triumphant season I had enjoyed at Lovett's Grove and thought it was my last testimony and felt reconciled to die. Still, the earnest prayers of my friends were ascending to heaven for me, and soon a prickling sensation was felt in my limbs. I praised the Lord that I could use them a little. The Lord heard and answered the faithful prayers of His children, and the power of Satan was broken. That night I suffered much, but the next day I was sufficiently strengthened to return home. For several weeks I could not feel the pressure of the hand or the coldest water poured upon my head. In rising to walk, I often staggered and sometimes fell to the floor. In this afflicted condition, I began to write on the great controversy. At first, I could write but one page a day and then rest 3 days. But as I progressed, my strength increased. The numbness in my head did not seem to becloud my mind. And before I closed that work, Spiritual Gifts, Volume 1, the effect of the shock had entirely left me. At the time of the conference at Battle Creek, in June 1858, I was shown in vision that in the sudden attack at Jackson's, Satan intended to take my life in order to hinder the work I was about to write, but angels of God were sent to my rescue. I also saw, among other things, that I should be blessed with better health than before the attack.